Hello, friends. This is We Have Thoughts. This is Joy.
I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And we are working on our 2014 Oscar Best Picture nominations. And today we're going to be talking about Gravity, as Gravity jiggles a lot of boobs over here. This is why we're on the podcast.
We're
not a video.
Dancing. That's why she's
dancing. Yeah, they're dancing here.
We're shimmying.
A lot of shimmying happened right in front of me.
Or as Joy called it, a boob shimmy.
A boob shimmy. We love a boob shimmy. Gravity was nominated for a lot of awards, including Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón, Best Cinematography for Emmanuel Lubezki, Best Visual Effects, Best Film Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Sound Editing, Best Picture, obviously, Best Actress for Sandra Bullock, Best Production Design, and Best Original Score. It won seven, because I know how to count. Seven of them.
Yeah, 10 noms total. Yeah, and that, so far that's tied with American Hustle, as far as total noms.
Which is hilarious, because like...
And I was looking at the American Hustles, mostly their noms are for acting, whereas Gravity's more for technical.
Technical shit. Yeah, I was watching a behind the scenes of that, and I was like, they literally invented rigs to be able to film this, and it was crazy.
And then, yes, maybe they're supposed to do well on technical awards.
Yeah, if they're done well, yeah.
So I had a moment this week that I almost texted you guys about. I was reading trivia for something. I think it might have been for Gravity. It was saying some obscure Oscar trivia, like this hasn't happened since Mystic River in 2005. I want to say Mystic River was. And then I had read on a list of things that were coming and going from Netflix that Mystic River was leaving at the end of this month. So today, actually, so it's last day on Netflix. And I wanted to text you guys, be sure to watch Mystic River before it leaves Netflix. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's not the year we're talking about. It doesn't matter. I was very confused for like half a day going, do they need to? No, they don't need to watch it.
Always need to know. So we've all seen this before, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Did y'all see it in theaters?
Yes. I'm
yes.
I cannot remember if I saw in 3D or not. Because I remember when 3D was everywhere and every movie was in 3D.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know if I saw it in 3D. I feel like every movie around that time I saw in 3D. But I remember, like, the second movie was better just because I knew what was going to happen. But that first time, it gave me so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I was like, I'm so glad this movie is short. It was only an hour and a half because otherwise I don't think I could have made it.
It did not feel like an hour and a half, though. When I watched it the first time, so I watched it with my family because they really like space movies, and my mom really likes space. And so we went to go see it, and I sat on the very end, and I literally had to, like, walk out and go to the hallway, me being dramatic, me going out to the hallway because I was, like, feeling nauseous. I got vertigo real bad. I was like, this movie is really well done because I feel like I am lost in space and I hate it. I was so miserable the whole time. I was like, I'm just going to look at this popcorn, eat this popcorn. Because, I was like, it was a panic.
Yeah, I remember going to see this by myself in Denton when I was going to school and sitting up at like the very top of the theater. Because when I'm by myself, I don't like the feeling of like people behind me. It just makes me anxious. So when I go by myself, I tend to sit at the very top. And I remember feeling very high up there during this movie and feeling like I'm gonna fall. I'm going to tumble forward. But yeah.
What's the first movie you saw by yourself, Anna? Have I seen this before?
What?
What's the first movie you've ever seen by yourself if you win?
It's one of two. I can't remember which one was first. It's either, and these are both so me, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Or Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
Oh. Anna, can I come over and we watch both of those, please?
Yes. We also need to finish our Harry Potter.
Yeah, we do. I'm so excited because it's going to be on HBO now. So.
Be again?
Yeah, they're putting it back on HBO.
Why did they take it off?
I don't know. But that way, Anna doesn't have to switch out DVDs when we're watching them.
Oh, we watch them on DVDs? Oh, y'all old school. I love it.
I have my 8-disc collection.
I don't even think my DVD player is plugged in. It's just kind of there for decoration at this point, really.
Mine's my PS4.
Oh, okay. Well, really, I don't even have. What do you do on a PS4? Play games? Like, what kind of games?
I haven't played in a while. I have Spyro, and I have Crash Bandicoot, and I have Spider-Man, but I'm not very good at it. I also have, oh, that really famous one that's about to become a series on HBO.
The Last of Us?
The Last of Us.
Oh, that game is so good. I can't wait. I better be fucking good, because I was riveted watching that game.
I have heard so many good things about the story.
I can't play.
Why can't you play?
I suck at playing most games.
It's really, I play on easy, and I can't, I'm really bad at guns. It's not a bad thing, no. I also recently tried VR for the first time.
So great.
And I played a Walking Dead zombie game, and I had to kill the zombies, and that was very, very stressful.
So watching Joy play a VR game is
hilarious. Oh my God, I bet.
Hilarious. I kept saying, she was standing over there by the TV, and I'm sitting on, like, right where I'm sitting right now. I go, Joy, I'm just going to go, like, touch your arm. He's like,
No, oh my God. You know, because I get super sucked into whatever I'm doing. Like, if it's a movie, a TV show, a game, whatever, I'm like this. And so then VR is, like, 360 all over, and Tony made me, play this Jurassic World game, and I was like, oh my God. The dinosaur's gonna attack me, and I can't do anything. I can't just take this thing off my head and throw it because it's expensive. Like, oh my God,
Don't it. Every like 5 minutes, it was so,
I was like,
funny.
So stressed. I was like, oh my God.
I played it with my little cousins. So I had my, how old is she? The 10-year-old, 10, 8, and 7. Yeah. All, poking me and touching me and trying to scare me. I also did stab a wall because you have the thing and it's your knife. And so I went to go stab the zombie and I definitely stabbed the wall. they all took videos of me. It was humiliating.
Did you? Damn it.
I was sweating profusely. Did you sweat? Okay. So I took it off and I'm sweating profusely. And then my littlest cousin puts it on. He goes, ew. And I was like, shut up. He's like, why is it so wet?
I can't imagine doing VR of like space. That would literally, I'd be like nauseous as fuck. I could not do it. VR of this movie. This movie felt like VR. It felt like you were in there. It did a really good job.
It reminded me of that ride at Disney, Space Mission to Space uh-huh. Mission, whatever. So we did that when I went a few years ago, and I did the hard one, because there's like an easy mode where you don't go as, you don't spin as much, and then there's a faster one. I didn't know any better, so we went to the fast one. It was a shorter line. Everyone has a job in the game, so you have to like press a button or lift a lever or whatever. So I had to go push my button, and I was like legit blacking out. I couldn't do it. And so after we got out, I met up with my aunts and my uncle, and they were just, you know, it was a nice night. They were just sitting down waiting for the fireworks show. And everyone else went to go do the test track, but I was too nauseous and too dizzy. I was like, I need to stop. So I didn't get to do the test track, which I was so bummed about. But yeah, so doing this, watching this reminded me of that feeling of being so incredibly nauseous.
Oh, we're going to have to, because, you know, our roomy Disney trip that is going to happen. We can do that one, but just make sure I haven't eaten immediately before, because otherwise there will be an accident.
And we do the easy version.
We do the easy one. I'm not trying to fucking lose my brain here. And I do want a test track. I didn't even know that was a thing. Can I drive fast cars? Is that what that is?
I don't even know what it is for sure, because I didn't get to go, but everyone talks about it being their favorite at Epcot. And then it was closed earlier in the day because it had rained, and so they needed the track to dry out. And so after we later that evening, it was open, but I couldn't function.
So yeah, so Sandra Bullock's character, Ryan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot this was her first time in space.
Yeah.
You imagine? Like,
hell no.
What did they say? Six weeks of training or something?
6 months, right? That was just
six months. My bad.
And then when he was asking her about, like, oh, have you ever tested, did you learn how to fly the Chinese one or something, or the Russian one? And she was like, yeah, but I crashed it every single time. I was like, oh, that's not good. That doesn't look well.
I feel like you should, like, I don't know, be able to,
like, pass those?
Pass those before you go up there, but whatever.
Although, you know, it's a story, so they could have made it.
And, so the whole basis of the movie is that the Russians launched a missile to hit one of their satellites and the debris was going around, around the Earth in the atmosphere, in the whatever, in the gravity pool or whatever. And it was hitting things and creating more debris. And while this has never happened, it is theorized that it could happen, by scientists, I think, Kipling, I don't know if I wrote this part down, and it's called like the Kipling effect or whatever, and he's also the guy who did the science behind Interstellar, I believe. Don't quote me on that now that I'm saying it out loud.
Interesting. Yeah, this, I think kind of what we talked about earlier, like this, the video game POV of it was very, was the good tool to make you like, feel you immersed in the story.
Yeah, because especially, like, I, like, it, there are so many shots that are, seem like they're going for that 3D sort of effect without having to be 3D. And it was really nice, those, like, push and pull shots where they were, like, on one person and then they pulled out, like, really quickly. It just, space, man, like, they were able to capture space so well, like, what I'm assuming space is like. And like it was all like in like just like a box and like on like a studio.
I really loved like in the very beginning whenever she's first spinning and just like the focus on her face in the like the slow pull into inside her helmet. Amazing. That was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just see her eyes. Oh man, so good.
You can tell that every shot in this movie was thought about and pre-planned and like the thoughtfulness of every moment of this film, you could feel it.
Oh, yeah. And especially because like they didn't, it's not like they can go shoot in space. So like none of these shots were like completely bare. All they had was like a light box behind one of them simulating like the Earth and like the sun and whatever. And then everything else was just like visual effects added on, which is like no wonder it won that, like nobody else is gonna come close to that.
So one of my favorite parts of this movie and what I think it does so well is the silence of the explosions or the collisions, like because only time you hear anything is when it's touching her body and it reverberates through her, but like when that big explosion happens in the beginning when the big crash happens and the music cuts out and it's just silence as it hits, like so fucking impactful. And then it continues to happen throughout the movie where there's these moments where like the music crescendos and you know it's going to hit, but it doesn't play out like an obvious, like it's not an obvious music cue for it to hit, but it works so well. I was obsessed.
Yeah, because like other movies past this have used it and like it hasn't been as successful because they didn't use it with a purpose. And this all felt like it was orchestrated a specific way.
You have very good use of orchestration with with the movie. Excuse me.
Original. Four. Who else was up for original score that year?
Oh, we're going to go through already?
Oh, no, I was just thinking. Oh, okay.
I had thought. It left me. I forgot.
My my answers were going back to last season. I was like, Theory of Everything was nominated. And
we're so ahead of it, guys. We're so good at podcasting.
Oh, my gosh.
We really are.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about my favorite shot in the entire film. Sure. Is when she finally gets in the airlock and she's taking off all that stuff. And she does that beautiful, like, aerial shot of her.
Like stretching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she goes straight into the fetal position. It's so beautiful. Especially so beautiful.
Because it was like, I think almost about halfway in. And especially after all that, like, continuous, like, action and build, it was so nice to have, like, a moment of just, like,
silence. I believe it mimics, like, you know, a baby in the womb.
So yeah, especially with the window of there.
And the wires coming through the cords.
Alfonso had talked about that, like, the movie is just, like, a big metaphor for being able to choose to live, choose to survive within like the concept of just like life itself, with so many things being thrown at you and so many obstacles in your way. And there's times where you really think you're not going to make it, but in the end, she still chooses to move forward with her life and chooses to live.
Right.
And I thought that was really great. He was talking about that scene in particular, that it was kind of like the rebirth of her, like, especially being able to take that, like, first breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, oh, it's such a nice, like, middle ground of the film.
And it, like, I just can't get over how, like, perfect it is, like, the lighting and all of it. It's so beautiful. And then it's followed up by a really great sequence of shots of her escaping the fire. And, like, as she's coming down the hall or the tunnel or whatever, and then as she, like, pulls it closed. So fucking cool.
And the long shots, it was really interesting seeing, like, how they were doing the long shots. Because they're just going through, like, these, like, boxes, and they just have, like, lights placed strategically so that the lights on her body match. And I was just like, you're just going through, like, a box. Like, it looks like they're pulling her through a cardboard box and... And then it's just like this, like, magical
movie mystic. I love it.
Like, it was cool.
Anna, would you ever go into space?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I would like to wait until it's a little less death trappy. You know? I think... I would love to go to space. I would love to, like, see that. But also, I think what would be really cool is to do one of those things where you ride the balloon up to the very top of the atmosphere and you, like, pop out over. So, like, you're above, or a little bit above Earth. Yeah. I mean, it's not like a... Like
recreationally?
I think so. I mean, I don't think it's very common, and I don't think it's like a...
Probably very expensive.
It's probably stupid expensive, but yeah, you can, like,
space.
You can, like, float up to the edge of the atmosphere and, like, pop out for a second, and then you pop back in. Yeah.
No, thank you.
That sounds so cool.
Right? So, like, you pop your head out and you're in all that blackness and that vastness.
You guys want to go do that?
And I did not know that was a thing. Oh my God.
I'm 99% sure it's a thing.
I feel like I've only seen that in movies, so I don't know if it's a thing. I don't. We'll have to figure it out later.
That's amazing if that's true. I don't know that I would. I don't think I would go, like, space, like, you know, they do this movie. But that sounds cool. That what you just said about the
balloon
being on the edge or whatever. Just gonna Google it, aren't you? Yeah, Joy's not a space person.
I'm not, like, I like space and I appreciate space. I like seeing space from the comfort of the land, of the earth. I'm just, like, terrified of space. Like,
it's just so unknown.
Well, not necessarily, because, like, I'm not afraid of the ocean and that's fucking unknown. Like, we don't know 90% of what's in there.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like right there.
That's the fireplace. What are you talking about?
No, the ocean's over there, bitch.
So stupid.
God. That's the pool of our apartment.
Space, so, I can't as easily get into space as I could like an ocean.
Good point.
Space is just so like massive and beautiful and like amazing and like terrifying. Like she is that bitch. Like I can't, you can't beat her. What the space? It's just the space. Like what are you gonna do? Like there's no oxygen. There's nothing there. It's just empty. It just keeps going forever. And like we can only like survive enough to go to like, not even Mars. Like it just no. I'm
okay.
I'm good.
You ready for this?
Okay. No.
For $125,000.
Got it.
You'll get a 6-hour journey into the stratosphere. A stratospheric balloon designed to take tourists to the edge of space has successfully completed its first test flight, prompted by its maker, Space Perspective, to open up ticket sales for a cool $125,000.
That's what I'm for my birthday. Get on it, girls.
I'll start selling my body now.
Yeah. Who wants a kidney?
I'll give you part of my liver.
I'm really terrified of surgery, but if you want it that bad.
Oh my god. No, I'm just kidding. You have to like give up your kidney.
I'm just going to win the lottery and then you can have 125 so you can go out to space.
Ooh, if you win the lottery, where would you go?
I'll send you to space.
No, where would you go? I've seen you.
Oh, I want a yacht. I want a yacht in the Mediterranean.
So you'd be like, I'm on a boat, right?
Yeah, I want to be like the Roy sitting on a yacht, but just with less stress and less pressure of running a business.
Can we have like a party on the boat?
Yes, bitch. I'm gonna bring all of you guys.
Oh my god.
Yachts are meant for parties.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been on a yacht, and that's always been like a dream of mine to like party on a yacht or just like be on a yacht, cause like
or like be a yacht, you know.
I'm a big bitch. I could be a yacht. I just put me on the Mediterranean and just like put little toy people on me. Yeah. There you go. I can float. Put a drink on my stomach and I'm good.
So easy to please.
Just forget the yacht. Just push her on the washer.
We'll tie you to a buoy.
Push her on the sea. She'll be fine.
This is nice.
That's really funny. Oh my god! What? She goes a yacht for Halloween.
I'll go as a yacht. You guys can be space.
There's more things that can kill you in the ocean. There's no monsters that we know of in space that'll get you.
Yeah, but if anything malfunctions with the suit, I'm dead. If anything comes close to me and hits me, dead.
Yeah, if you're deep in the ocean, you're...
But I'm not going deep in the ocean. I'm going to the Mediterranean. It's not as deep as, like, the fucking Pacific. I'm not trying to find, like, 10,000-year-old sharks under there. No, thank you. That could still exist. I don't know. It's really dark down there. We don't know. We haven't explored.
So I made a note back to this movie that if anybody ever asks what Murphy's Law is, just show them this movie.
Oh, God.
Because literally, when she says, what now? I was like, girl, I feel it. I feel that for you.
Don't even ask, because then it'll happen.
And I'm just like, oh, I hate space. It made me laugh.
I don't blame her.
I was Sandra Bullock. I love you so much.
She's really great in this. I really like her.
Speaking of, did you guys make a list of Sandra Bullock movies?
Damn it. But I will say, we just rewatched Miss Congeniality like 2 weeks ago.
And it's perfect.
It is literally flawless. 5 stars all around. Her Oscar was for that movie. Benjamin Bratt is stupid charming. It's so annoying. I'm going to punch him in the face. All the other girls that are all the contestants, such great like supporting cast, and like the writing for that was just so perfect. And they did such a great job. There's nothing wrong with that film. That film is perfect. That film is flawless. I love it. You're one in a million.
I like Speed. Speed was the first R-rated movie I ever saw in theaters. My parents took me and they were like, oh, it'll be fine. and I can't remember what parts now, but like there were so many times they were like, I feel like a hand over my head. So I
close your eyes.
What was happening? Speed, Miss Congeniality. What else?
What was your pick, Anna?
So I have three, Miss Congeniality being one. I think four if I'm adding Gravity, because she's great in this. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites is Practical Magic. I love that movie. I love that movie so much. Miss Congeniality. And then also a big one for me, for some reason, young little 8-10-year-old Anna loved While You Were Sleeping.
I've never seen it. Actually, I have seen that.
I fucking love that movie. I don't know. I was so charmed by it. I can't explain it, but I've loved that movie for a very, very long time. Bill Pullman.
Okay. I've never seen that.
It's great.
Yeah, the guy's like in a coma or something, and she like lies about him being her boyfriend or whatever.
Oh my God.
He falls on the train tracks where she works, and she saves him from being hit by a train. So she goes with him to the hospital, and she's been in love with him. Like, he comes up to her window to get his pass or whatever, his ticket. And so she's been crushing on him from afar. And so when she goes with him to the hospital in order to stay with him, she says, yeah, I'm his fiance.
Oh.
And then his family is like, oh, a fiance. And then she falls in love with his family while he's in a coma. It's really sweet.
What happens when he wakes up? He doesn't know her.
He got a free fiance.
Oh.
That's part of the story. It's part of the complications. It's great.
Oh my God.
And hilarity ensues.
I also remember being young.
So great.
I also remember loving when I was little. I rented from Blockbuster Forces of Nature with her and Ben Affleck. I don't remember much about the movie. I just remember loving it and being way too young to understand what I was watching, but loving it.
I didn't realize until I didn't remember, because I remember from a long time ago, but like she was, I think Miriam in The Prince of Egypt. Mm-hmm. I totally thought that was her, but wow. I mean, that movie's just great. So she just adds to the greatness. I really like 2 Weeks Notice.
Me too. I love it so much.
2 Weeks Notice, when they put on HBO Max, I immediately watched it and I was so happy because it's so like stupid rom-com, like whatever, like they're opposites. Like she's a workaholic and she has morals and he's just a douchey businessman, and you know, it's so funny.
Also, she was Ryan Reynolds. She was businesswoman.
The Proposal.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
The Proposal is also really great.
Or that scene with her and Betty White dancing in the forest.
Yeah. She to the window, miss. To the wall, to the wall. That was like, there's some piece of trivia about that one. I think it was like the last rom-com to be a successful box office, like at theaters.
Really? Interesting.
Until, oh man, I used to know this. I don't remember. There was an interesting little piece of trivia about it.
Until now that there's kind of been like the resurgence of rom-coms again. They're investing in rom-coms once more. Although they're good, but like I don't know if it's like the like my rose-colored glasses of being a child and like a teenager and being like, I love these movies. I'm sure they're just the same as the ones that are happening now.
Well, they're remaking them. Did you see that they remade She's All That with TikTok stars?
No, gross. No.
It makes me want to vomit.
This doesn't happen in this house.
No. Although, I don't know who any of those people are. I'm kind of glad I don't.
I'm going to point to not know, actually. I saw the trailer and I was like, this just keeps getting worse. Like, the longer I watch the trailer, the worse it got. And then I became, like, physically angry afterwards. So
I didn't even
not watching that ever. Not even hate watch it. No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Can't give it the views. Do we want to go through the categories?
Yeah. In the bottom.
Hold on. One quick thing. Yeah. There was a short film that accompanies this movie. It's called, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's the version of the call she has with the man, the native man, who's talking about the dog and she's barking with him. Mm-hmm. It's his side of the call.
Yes. So I saw this a couple of years ago. What I think, not even a couple of years ago, not that long ago, whenever we were, whenever I was doing research for The Revenant. Mm-hmm. And so like this popped up, and his, Alfonso's brother did that short film, but that's what she's hearing on there is the call with the family.
And it turns out the man is telling her that his dog is sick and he might have to put it down. He's thinking of putting it out of its misery. And that's what he's talking about, his dog. Mm-hmm.
Was there a short film that accompanied The Revenant as well?
No. I just found it while I was looking for cinematography stuff.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Because I definitely don't know how to pronounce it either.
It's AninGaaq.
Yeah.
And she says it like, I believe that's what she says.
Right. Like the name of wherever he's living.
And
the place.
I think that's his name is what he says.
Oh,
is that?
Yeah.
Also, this tied with 12 Years a Slave for Best Picture at Producers Guild Award.
Oh.
And this was the only Best Picture nom to not be nominated for writing, which is fair because I don't think it's really about the story too much.
You know what?
As much as it's about a visual story.
Right. But I do want to go through. I didn't have time to look it up. I've been very busy. I do want to go through and see the screenplay though, because he has like him and his brother wrote the screenplay, and there's obviously not a lot of like dialogue or whatever.
Probably a lot of direction.
But the way, yeah, exactly. The way that he wrote out the directions, there's kind of like a poetry to it. It's not just like she goes here, she does this, she comes back or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's very fluid. And so I really want to go through and read the screenplay later, because I'm sure it's not even that long anyways.
It's true. I sometimes forget that a script is not necessarily just dialogue.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a very interesting technical script.
Yeah. Because like he was talking about him going to the cinematographer and being like, okay, what do you think? And then them trying to figure out shots together.
So do you want to go through the
points?
Okay, so best visual effects, it won that
100%.
Beat The Hobbit, Iron Man 3, The Lone Ranger, and Star Trek Into Darkness. So yeah.
Which Hobbit is it? The Desolation of Smaug.
The Desolation of Smaug. Is it Smaug? Did I say it right?
Smaug.
It also won for. Why am I trying to? I took my glasses off.
Took your glasses off to read.
Wow. Oh my God.
So smart.
My old lady, I took them off for every day and I needed to read. I put it back on. You just witnessed my old lady. First film is fun. Anyways, best film editing, it also won that. It beat out American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, and 12 Years a Slave.
As much as I loved Captain Phillips editing, yes, this is correct.
Agreed. Any interjections? No?
No.
Okay. it won cinematography. It beat out The Grandmaster, Inside Llewyn Davis, Nebraska, and Prisoners.
I'm very excited. I'm going to watch Prisoners. I love Roger Deakins. He has not let me down yet.
It's Roger Deakins gang in this house.
Yeah. We respect Roger Deakins. So I'm interested to see how that compares. Obviously, like, I'm pretty sure Gravity's still going to be the best one, just in terms of, like, technical ability and how they did things. But I'm really interested to see the competition.
Yeah, I agree. I think of the ones I've seen in this category, I think Gravity is the correct winner.
Yeah, I agree.
Best production design, it was nominated for but did not win. The Great Gatsby won that one.
Yes, it did.
I'm
a sucker for Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, fair. There's a lot more textures and scenery and things in Gatsby, whereas Gravity is much more one note in that it's all a spaceship.
Yeah, I feel like Gravity is a lot of it. The production was built through the visual effects, mm-hmm. not necessarily through the like the physical effects. So I think that would give it a leg up on that.
Agreed. I agreed. It won for best sound mixing. It beat out Captain Phillips, The Hobbit, Inside Llewyn Davies, and Lone Survivor.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct.
It also won sound editing. It beat out All Is Lost, Captain Phillips, The Hobbit, and Lone Survivor.
Also correct.
Then we go to score. It won that year. Oh, it beat out The Book Thief, Her, Philomena, and Saving Mr. Banks. I would agree with that, actually. Especially in the way that they used it. I think another one I just thought about was when she finally lands on the beach and the music, like the, as her foot hits the ground. Amazing. Mm-hmm. She's finally on the ground. Like she's there.
Which wherever she landed was beautiful.
I know.
Right? Yeah. Did they say? I don't think they said.
I wrote it down, but it didn't seem real to me, so I meant to look it up. Apparently, she landed in Lake Powell in Arizona, but that did not look like Arizona.
Wait, like, I've been to Arizona, and it does not look like that.
I've never been to Arizona, but... I don't know why. I saw that, and I was like, that's Arizona?
In movies, that does not look like Arizona.
And that's very bad of me, speaking as a Texan who's like, we don't all ride horses and wear cowboy boots.
Right? Like, it's we not don't, a giant farm.
Don't all have a Texas accent.
It reminds me of when I was in high school. I think I told this before, but we had an exchange student come from France. And I remember his first day at school, he was in band with us. And he was looking around, and he was like, oh, yes, Texas is nice, but where are the horses? And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, I really wanted to ride a horse to school, but there's no horses.
Oh, my God.
And he wasn't, like, making a joke. He legit thought, like, we were horses to school.
Not at our schools.
It was so funny. I'll never forget that. I wasn't even laughing. Score. I agree. I think it was, I never heard The Book Thief. But John Williams is John Williams.
The Her score is really, really pretty.
It is really pretty. I have heard that that song that, what's his name, does. What is the lead singer's name from Vampire Weekend? Oh my God, I'm blanking. There's a song for that movie, and it's really good. I think they performed at the Oscars that year, actually.
I think they did.
Yeah, so Gravity, good job. Props to you. Best actress, Sandra Bullock. She did not win. Cate Blanchett beat her. So, I mean, I think, yeah, that's okay. I feel like because she won the year before with The Blind Side, it was kind of like, oh, we need someone to.
Oh, is that 2013? Is that soon?
I think. Well, she'd won before that, so.
Yeah.
This is one of these nominations where it was like, you've been nominated before, so we'll give you this nomination.
Right.
That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, it's 2009.
Not that she was... Oh, okay. Wow. Way later. Not that it wasn't bad or anything. It's just... Or good, but... It's whatever.
It was director. A safe nom.
Yeah, safe. There you go. Alfonso Cuarón won that year. He beat out David O. Russell for American Hustle, Alexander Payne for Nebraska, Steve McQueen for 12 Years, and Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, the jury is still out for me because I have yet to see the other ones.
Exact same. but
so far, he's doing better than David O. Russell.
David O. Russell or Alfonso.
I've seen 12 Years a Slave and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay. You think the right one won? I guess we'll get there.
I think so, from what I remember.
So it'll be nice to get your perspective at the end of this when you've rewatched all of them now.
Shout out to Mexico.
Yeah. Because from my memory, I remember really liking The Wolf of Wall Street.
Liking it or not liking it?
Liking it.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see how I feel now that I've grown up a little bit.
Oh, okay. I don't really know what it's about. I mean, I kind of know, but I don't know. So we'll see how this happens. But anyways, yeah, that's Gravity, everybody. Any last thoughts? Woohoo! Why is it so funny?
I was trying to think of a joke, but I couldn't come up with anything not stupid, so.
Because we're not stupid on this podcast. Please. Oh, rankings!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't think if I did.
What?
I think my body forgot how to talk. Continue.
So who wants to go first? I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. At the bottom, Dallas Buyers Club.
Sorry.
And then American Hustle, and then Captain Phillips, and number one is Gravity for taking us on an existential journey of terror. But oh. I enjoyed it, as terrified as I was. I can appreciate it. It was
technical,
very good.
Technical marvel.
It was very, very good. I was just, like, panic sweating the whole time.
It at least made you feel something.
It did. Yeah. I felt a lot of things.
It was very stressful. You were watching your phone, weren't you?
Yeah, but I was in the car, so, like, I had the sound up.
Oh, okay.
Which was nice, because I was, like, I was able to, like, really get the details of the sound and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I forgot that was one of my notes, is that when she was landing and like she's coming, like you see her leaving the stratosphere into the atmosphere and all of that, and it's like breaking apart, and I had an existential crisis. I was like, we are so fucking small. Like, we are specks. We are nothing.
Yeah.
I like had a fucking moment, which I usually do when I watch space movies.
Same.
But I was like, ugh. Okay, so my ranking, Dallas Buyers Club is number 4, followed by Captain Phillips, then American Hustle, and then Gravity up top.
So mom is a guy who liked Joyce. Dallas Buyers Club, American Hustle, Captain Phillips, and Gravity.
Can't do the thing that I did.
So you do it again? What is it?
No, you can't do it.
What is
it? I
missed it.
What did I do?
Yeah,
you did the like pop thing with your mouth. Oh. I can't. Yeah, I can't do it.
You can't.
Let's all pop into our microphones.
I just attempted and it didn't work, so.
So yeah, okay. If you've seen Gravity and you like it, let us know. If you didn't like it, let us know why. You know, talk to us. Be friends. What is so funny? Why are you laughing at me?
Because when you said if you didn't like it, my initial reaction, and I apologize, was to say, shove it up your ass.
You should have said that. That would have been great.
And then I was like, why was that my initial thought?
Because our opinions are the ones that matter.
Amen.
And this is why you have a podcast.
Shove it up your ass. Today, my chiropractor, she asked me, she's like, we were talking about that we watched these movies. She's like, are there any that you don't think should have been nominated that don't belong there? And I was like, the first one that jumps out at me is American Sniper. It was bad. And she's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, no one should have to watch that.
Big baby.
For the big baby the alone. That was the first
I talked part. About that. Anyway. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
Yeah, or night.
Or week.
Or morning.
Or year.
Or month.
Oh, I just
if not, stick it up your ass.
I should have.
It's okay. We were
excited.
Yeah, you did. That's good. Get excited, bitches. We're podcasting. All right, bye.